ladies and gentlemen. It's Thursday, April 25th, 2024. This is the InfoWars War Room, your election headquarters. Brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com. 194 days until the presidential election. And let me guarantee you one thing. The political landscape between now and Election Day is going to change so significantly in the next 194 days that it's really even hard to game plan. It's really even hard to game plan with certain issues and aspects, because I was asked about the election and what needs to be done about this, that, or the other thing, or how do you think this is going to go or that is going to go. And it's just, well, I can answer that question today, but then in 150 days, the answer could be completely different. The question could be completely different. So just get ready for total insanity. Now, we got a lot of things to address today. A lot of developments in the Trump cases, plural, as we have more coming out with the corruption in the judge in the case in New York City, and then as well with what's going on in Florida with the continuation of the redacted documents. The whole thing is a Democrat Party scam. It leads right back to the White House. That's why Jack Smith was fighting so hard to keep the documents redacted so that the American people couldn't see. This is all coming out of the Biden administration, all out of the Biden White House. And then he goes in front of the press when he can find up a way to put two words together and says, oh, I have nothing to do with this. But then it's all in the documents, how they're communicating directly with the White House. Maybe Joe Biden has no idea what's going on. That might be a plausible excuse. But it is the Democrat Party. It is the White House. It is political persecution, obviously. So we got a lot dealing with that. And then some FBI stories, some Supreme Court stories. They're hearing the Trump case as well. Some pretty bombshell sound bites from that. And Trump does the brilliant thing again. I'm telling you, this is the way. This is going to be the path to victory, especially if he wants to win New York. He says he's going to make a play for New York. We'll have that clip coming up for you. This is the play. Pop-up rallies on the streets of New York City. Nobody can do this but Donald Trump. And you saw what happened the last time the Biden campaign tried to mirror what Donald Trump did, where he went to the bodega. And then Biden went to a sandwich shop, and it was just a complete embarrassment. So now it's like you kind of force, hey, Biden, I just did a pop-up rally in New York City. Let's see you do that, Jack. Let's see you do that in New York City, where you apparently get 80% of the vote as a Democrat. Let's see how that goes for you. How do you think that would go for old Joe Biden? Well, we'll get an answer, actually, today, with the Trump pop-up rally in New York City. And then a bunch of union workers were out there. And then there's some news on that. And then what is Biden's plan? Well, Biden's plan, they've come out with it today, to raise taxes and to make illegal immigrants citizens. That's their plan. They have now announced that, as if we didn't already know that was the case. Now, I do have a guest coming up, two guests dealing with the open border and some shock footage they caught in California. We'll talk about the situation now in San Diego. And then Laura Loomer, in the third hour, because I got a bunch of the news dealing with the protests. I was obviously at a protest yesterday in UT. They're back out there today. They were at the jailhouse last night doing a sit-in for the people that got arrested. And let's just say she's had a very controversial take. Probably not in her eyes, but we're going to be talking to her about this as well. So I think it's going to be a fun third hour with Laura Loomer as well. Loaded show coming up. I'm telling you, this is the move. Donald Trump doing pop-up rallies in New York City after he's done dealing with the persecution, the Democrat criminals persecuting him in the courtroom. And it just becomes more and more obvious, folks. I'm not meaning to give you the basics of the justice system in the United States of America, but apparently liberals need to be reminded the judge is supposed to be impartial. the judge is supposed to be unbiased. Well, the judge, and at least for sure in New York City, the judge dealing with Donald Trump, or the judges in New York City dealing with Donald Trump, they are anti-Trump. They are on the Democrat team. They are not there to be impartial and unbiased. They are part of the agenda to destroy Donald Trump. And more is coming out with that. I mean, even the prosecutors, their job is to get Donald Trump. Now, it's not justice. It's not stopping crime or criminals. It's get Donald Trump. So, I say we just go right into this. Now, there's the national phenomenon, and then there's the New York phenomenon. And I think both will be important, but it might even be more important for Trump to really put a footprint in New York City politically, culturally, socially, while he's in the courtroom, and then going out on the streets and doing these pop-up rallies. Because the Democrats, everybody assumes, are going to win New York. Nobody thinks Donald Trump can win the state of New York. And while New York might not be the best example, like some of these other states, like Pennsylvania, where the only blue areas are the Democrat-run cities, the whole rest of the map is all red. Still, in New York, the majority of the map is red, but the concentration, the population density in New York City that goes overwhelmingly Democrat basically overwhelms the rest of the state's election results when you're dealing with Senate races and the presidential race. So for Trump to make a massive cultural impact and footprint in an election year in New York City is so key. There's a reason why after Trump went to the bodega, Biden goes to the sandwich shop. So the Democrats, the Biden campaign might decide, okay, that was such a disaster. So you just have to give Trump that victory then. You just have to give Trump the popularity victory, give Trump the street victory, that he can go out in public, he can go out in the streets, he's beloved by the people, he doesn't get lost and is not roaming around dazed and confused. Need people walking him around, showing him the way, guiding him through. In control of the moment, in control of the room. Reading it, feeling it out, feeling the love, bringing the love. So you either force the Democrats to just give Trump that victory, or you force the Democrats to put Biden into a similar position, which obviously he can't have the same results there. He's not popular. He's not beloved. He can't bring the energy. He can't control the room. But why is it important in New York City? Well, if the Democrats are going to get 80% of the vote on Election Day in New York City, but yet Biden can't even walk the streets, and Donald Trump walks around and a ticker tape parade breaks out organically, people are going to start to wonder what the hell's going on. People are going to start to wonder what the hell's going on. Now, of course, the Democrats have made it a crime to question elections. Yes, they are now, the Attorney General in Arizona has indicted members of the Republican Party that questioned election results. So, of course, they can question the election every time they lose in the 21st century, whether it's Al Gore or John Kerry or Hillary Clinton. They can always question it and always will. And if Trump wins again, they'll question it. But if a Republican questions it, they're getting indicted. They're getting thrown in jail. But it's not going to matter. It's going to be inevitable. When Trump proves his popularity in New York and New York City, that either forces Biden to try to do a mirror campaign, which will fail, or give up the ground, which will obviously lead to people scratching their heads when Biden gets 80% of the Democrat vote in New York City, but nobody in New York City actually likes Joe Biden. Now, there might be arguments against that, or there might be plausible reason to think, well, they just vote for Biden, but you just don't know where they are. They just don't exist in the public, but they're that. They're out there. But so here's what happens. Here's what happens when Donald Trump goes out on the streets. Here's just some sights and sounds of him out on the streets of New York City. Clip 21. So you won't get anything like that for Joe Biden, obviously. And they got the MAGA hats on. And everybody's happy. This is truly an organic event. It's not AstroTurf where the Democrats have to invite a selected amount of people that get put through basically like a casting call to see if they're loyal enough Democrats to get invited to the Biden event. They can't just open it up for the public. With this deal, it's like, hey, Trump's going to be here. Let's go out. So that's how that goes. New York City union leader says members support Trump over Biden 3-1. I see a wave coming. He talks about that here in an interview in clip 24.
It was great to see the president come and engaging with the blue collar worker of New York City. We basically built New York. The union movement has made the middle class. And we are very patriotic union and we are pro-America. So my members right now, I put out a poll in my union. President Trump is leading Joe Biden 3-1 on my presidential poll out of my 9,000 members right now. We are very tired of the situation with groceries, inflation, gas prices, illegal immigration, crime. We are living it every day in New York City.
So now here's Donald Trump in the midst of all of this, finding a moment to talk to the media, says he is going to make a play to try to win the state of New York. Clip 22.
We're very close in New York, I understand, and we're leading in the country by a lot. A poll just came out a little while ago, as you saw yesterday, that we're up in every swing state and up by a lot in every swing state. So I think we're going to do very well, and we're going to make a play for New York. I just heard there was a very good poll came out. Normally, a Democrat will win New York. Biden is the worst president in history, and we have some very bad people here, but we have the greatest people, and they're right behind me. And they all want us to run, and we're going to run very hard in New York. New York, we have a good chance of winning New York, in my opinion, but we're going to give it a shot. Oh, I have no idea. They've taken my constitutional right away with a gag order. That's all it is. It's election interference. This whole thing is election interference. So the polls have just come out, and I just got another sample. We're leading every swing state by a lot, and we're leading the nation by a lot. He's the worst president in the history of our country. He makes Jimmy Carter look great. Jimmy Carter is very happy because his presidency was brilliant by comparison. But this is the worst president we've ever had. He's destroying our country. Close the borders. You can do it in one phone call. You can close the borders. Close up the borders, Joe. Our country's going to hell.
Mr. President, did you know that the deal with Stormy
Daniels? So I hope that Trump continues to do these little pop-up rallies. It's so important. I think it's just so important. And by the way, the more he does it, the bigger they're going to get. And you notice the media gaggles are getting larger out there as well. That's where the media wants to be. They're not following Joe Biden around his controlled campaign. That low energy garbage. They're going to be following Donald Trump. So these New York City pop-up rallies, and you know, I'm probably on the more aggressive end of the spectrum on this. I'd be doing them 3, 4, 5 times a week. I mean, I'd come out of that courtroom every day. If I was Donald Trump, I'd come out of that courtroom every day and go visit a local restaurant, bodega, construction site. I mean, whatever, anything, everything. pub. I mean, you name it. I'd be hitting them every single day after you leave that courtroom. They want to keep you in New York to keep you off the campaign. Then rally every single frickin' day in New York City and crush them. But it looks like he's probably going to be doing maybe at least one a week. So this is big. Now, one of the union workers was asked what his message for Joe Biden was, and it went like this in clip 27.
What's it like seeing so many Republicans in Manhattan, so many Trump supporters in Manhattan? Does that surprise you?
No, not at all. It's turning now. Trump's turning again.
Are you smiling right now? Did you enjoy that? Why did you enjoy that so much? What's wrong with you? Why are you so immature? All right, I'm guilty. I enjoyed that way too much. I didn't actually, you know what? That wasn't clear to me, guys. Can we get that again? I'm not sure I heard that right. Can we hear that again? Let me see this.
What's it like seeing so many Republicans in Manhattan, so many Trump supporters in Manhattan? Does that surprise you?
No, not at all. It's turning now.
Okay. I think I got it that time. I think I heard that one loud and clear, actually. Okay. So there you go. Now, same judge that he's talking about, Judge Merchan. Folks, again, it's crazy. This is the exact same thing they did to InfoWars. This is the exact same thing they did to Alex Jones. Justice Merchan is denying Trump's request to subpoena Stormy Daniels, Cohen, Karen McDougal, E. Jean Carroll, Jessica Leeds, or Natasha Stoyanov. Trump cannot get a fair trial in New York City. So here's what goes on. You're supposed to be granted discovery. And the same thing happened with Alex in the cases he goes through. And you discovery goes both ways, but both sides are supposed to get some discovery, and it's supposed to be relevant. I mean, you can't just ask for anything. But you know, it has to be relevant stuff. This would all be relevant to Trump's defense. And the judge just says, no. And the judge just says, no. So he can't even get a fair trial. He's not even allowed basic discovery. I'm telling you, the judge is obviously, it's like, this isn't breaking news. Everybody knows it. The judge is obviously up there as a Democrat political activist against Donald Trump. This is not an unbiased judge. This is not a fair trial. This is not a neutral judge looking for justice. This is a Democrat party operative judge who is making sure this case is rigged against Donald Trump. And while the Democrats tried to plea to arrest Donald Trump, violating the gag order, the judge is still sitting on that. But Trump is not allowed discovery. Can you imagine, though? I mean, imagine, and there's obviously attorney-client privilege, but I mean, you know you would find the same type of garbage going on here. Remember the, who was it? Lisa Page and Peter Stroke? The guy's name was Peter Stroke. And he's having an affair with this other federal agent. And they're in their text messages. And these were the two federal agents going after Trump with the fake Russian collusion. And it's all in their text messages about how much they hate Trump and how smelly Trump supporters are and how they're going to get Trump. And it doesn't matter if he's innocent. It'd be all the same garbage. So the judge is like, no, we're not going to allow you any discovery here. Or maybe there's something in the text messages that would exonerate Donald Trump. from any of these individuals. No, we're not going to allow Trump any evidence that could exonerate him. We're not going to allow that, says the judge, because he's not a fair and impartial judge. He's a Democrat Party activist on the bench. All right, you also had the Supreme Court hearing Trump's presidential immunity case. And there were some major bombshell sound bites that came out of this. I think maybe let's start with, here's Justice Brown Jackson. She's done it again, folks. First, she doesn't understand the basics of the Constitution. She doesn't understand the basics of the First Amendment. Remember that deal in the free speech case? And she's like, well, I'm afraid that maybe the First Amendment is an obstacle. Really? Huh? Tell me you shouldn't have passed law school without telling me you shouldn't have passed law school, but now you're on the Supreme Court. She does it again. Trump's lawyer, John Sauer, talking about presidential immunity and the dumbest Supreme Court justice in the history of this country, embarrasses herself once again, showing that she doesn't even have basic understanding of the law. I mean, this even goes beyond the law. This is like truly incredible. She doesn't even have basic understanding of law, history of the law, history of law application. Here she does it again, embarrassing herself in clip 25.
Benjamin Franklin said, as we view the prosecution of a chief executive as something that everybody cried out against as unconstitutional. And what George Washington said is, we're worried about factional strife, which will...
No, I'm also, let me put this worry on the table. If the potential for criminal liability is taken off the table, wouldn't there be a significant risk that future presidents would be emboldened to commit crimes with abandon while they're in office? It's right now the fact that we're having this debate because OLC has said that presidents might be prosecuted. Presidents from the beginning of time have understood that that's a possibility. That might be what has kept this office from turning into the kind of crime center that I'm envisioning. But once we say, no criminal liability, Mr. President, you can do whatever you want, I'm worried that we would have a worse problem than the problem of the president feeling constrained to follow the law while he's in office.
I respectfully disagree with that because the regime you've described is the regime we've operated under for 234 years. There has not been an expectation based on 234 years of unbroken political...
All right, let me ask you another question. Let me ask you another question about this.
So she has to cut him off because she realizes how much she just embarrassed herself. All right, I'm not trying to be rude here because... I mean, listening to her talk can make you a dumber person. I mean, truly. So I'm not trying to be insulting to the audience or even the crew, but I want to, sometimes I have to use the crew as kind of a balancing beam here. I mean, guys, it's inherent. You guys understand how stupid what she just said is, right? I mean, I don't need to explain this to the audience. Do we all understand how dumb what she just said was? Okay. Because again, I understand it's like, it's confusing. It's just a bunch of mumbo jumbo. And then as Trump's lawyer is about to explain it to her, she cuts him off because she realized how stupid she is. So this is your diversity, equity, and inclusion Supreme Court justice. And don't say it's anything but that. Joe Biden promised, he might have even said gay woman. I can't remember. Did he say, I'm going to put a gay black woman on there? Joe Biden says, I'm going to put a black woman on the Supreme Court. Well, what if there's only one black female judge in the whole country? Well, I guess you're not really selecting on merit now, are you? And he never was. So this is by design. This is admitted. This is your diversity, equity, and inclusion Supreme Court Justice Brown Jackson. First, not even understanding the basics of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, the First Amendment, and now saying she's concerned about a concept that has already existed for the entire country's history, acting like it's some new profound thing. Well, it's not. And so you might even say that this next clip from Justice Kavanaugh is a bit of a pushback on this as well, saying, well, you know, if you're not going to give Trump the immunity, because again, this is all about Trump, folks. This is all about getting Trump. So Kavanaugh pushes back on this and brings up some issues that Barack Obama had in clip 23.
How about President Obama's drone strikes?
So the Office of Legal Counsel looked at this very carefully and determined that, number one, the federal murder statute does apply to the executive branch. The president wasn't personally carrying out the strike, but the aiding and abetting laws are broad. And it determined that a public authority exception that's built into statutes and that applied particularly to the murder statute because it talks about unlawful killing did not apply to the drone strike. So this is actually the way that the system should function. The Department of Justice takes criminal law very seriously. It runs it through the analysis very carefully with established principles. It documents them. It explains them. And then the president can go forward in accordance with it. And there is no risk of prosecution for that course of activity.
Thank you.
So, again, the aspect here is that Obama calls for a drone strike, kills innocent people. He has presidential immunity, essentially. So why are we only trying to apply this to... Why is it that Trump doesn't get presidential immunity? Every other president in the history of this country does. So that's kind of the pushback there from Justice Kavanaugh. All right. Let's look at the Biden side of the aisle now. Let's see what Biden's up to. What is that old hag up to? What's that crooked old bastard up to? Here he is lying to people. He's told this lie multiple times, and he just keeps telling it. He just cannot help himself. See if you can find the lie. That's pretty obvious. See if you can find the lie here in clip one.
Besides, I used to drive an 18-wheeler.
Sure you did.
You know what I did? That's exactly right.
It is hilarious, though. But I want to play it again, because notice how everyone in the room laughs. I mean, that's how ridiculous this is. Like, even the 10 Democrats that they handpicked to be in that room, because there's a very tight screening process. Not anybody can get into a Biden rally. It's too risky. Too many people can't stand that guy. They know he's a crook. So it's bad optics when everywhere he goes, he gets protested. And even at the private events, sometimes somebody sneaks in and is able to protest him. But notice how... It's like everybody knows that it's a big joke. Everybody knows it's a big joke, and Joe doesn't even know what he's talking about half the time. And, it's, you know, it's kind of, it's, I mean, you don't want to be rude to, you don't want to be insensitive to old people, elderly people that, you know, sometimes have memory problems. You might be dealing with that. Maybe you had a grandma or grandpa or something, your mom and dad, and you know, if they forget things or they repeat themselves or they just say some goofy stuff, you know, it's kind of funny. You laugh a little bit. So, but that's what this is now, except this guy wants to be the president. So notice how they all laugh. Oh, I used to drive a big rig. I used to drive an 18-wheeler, and they all laugh because they know how ridiculous it is. Play it again.
Besides, I used to drive an 18-wheeler. You know what I do? That's exactly right.
Folks, he never drove an 18-wheeler. Even PolitiFact has to give him the pants on fire rating for that one. It's just completely made up. So this guy just goes around the country just making things up. And he's said this before. They fact-checked that. By the way, these are leftists that run these fact-checking websites. That's a liberal site, PolitiFact. And they fact-checked it when he said it on November 30th, 2021. He said, I used to drive an 18-wheeler. No, he didn't. He literally didn't. This guy's well-known for plagiarizing things. He plagiarized himself. He basically read the exact same State of the Union 2 years in a row. He just makes things up. He grew up in an Irish household. He grew up in a Puerto Rican household. He grew up in a Jewish household. He grew up in a Catholic household. He grew up in a black household. This guy just makes things up anywhere he goes. And then anything you put on that teleprompter, Ron Burgundy will read, except it's Joe Biden in clip two.
Imagine what we can do next.
4 more years.
Oh, boy. It's getting bad. He kind of got bailed out by the drones in the audience, the hand-selected Democrat drones that they start chanting 4 more years. Did you catch that, though? He read the pause. So, but see, the whole thing is scripted out. The whole thing is scripted out like a WWE match. So they write into the script, you're going to say 4 more years, and then you're going to take a pause because we're going to chant 4 more years. And we have our people in the audience to start the chant. So you say 4 more years and then pause, and then we chant 4 more years. And he reads pause. But luckily, they started chanting, and so it kind of gets drowned out. But everybody's seen this now. It's been seen like 10 million times on X alone. The guy's an embarrassment. And he has a plan for you. He has a plan for you. Biden capital gains rate proposal, 44% for next year is what he wants, 44%. And they say, well, this is to hurt white people. They actually say that. Biden administration slammed for tax rate proposal to avoid helping white taxpayers. Oh, only white people make money? Actually, that's not true at all. Anybody can make money. It's free market capitalism. A lot of black people like making money too, actually. And they don't want to be taxed either. So it's all this game. They run all these smoke screens and they use all these buzzwords and catchphrases and dog whistles. It's like, hey, we're doing this to fight racism. And then a stupid liberal says, all right, yeah, more taxes. We're doing this to fight climate change. All right, yeah, don't eat meat. Like, no, you need meat. No taxes hurt the economy. But, oh, you said you're fighting racism, so thumbs up. Oh, you said you're fighting climate change. Thumbs up. So it's all these smoke screens. And by the way, they do the same thing to the right as well. I'll explain that coming up in the next segment, because they're running a smoke screen against the conservatives right now, and they're falling for it with all of these leftist protesters. So the conservatives just jump up and they say, look at these stupid protesters on college campuses. You're missing the larger issue, but I'll get to that coming up. So Biden wants to raise taxes to hurt white people. Not himself, though. He'll be fine. Biden weighs giving legal status to immigrant spouses of U.S. citizens. So he's already said he wants to give upwards of 1 million illegal immigrant citizenship status. They've already announced that. Now this is potentially more millions spouses of illegal immigrants. Now, it's well known you can get a green card, but now he just wants to speed track it to citizen status. And it's all to get votes. It's all to buy votes. That's all it is. They're desperate. They're losing voters. They're losing black voters, Hispanic voters, common sense voters, centrist voters, independent voters. They're never going to vote Democrat again. They're even losing their base. So they have to try to buy them with the student debt cancellation, and we're making illegal immigrant citizens. It's just any way to buy a vote. Who knows? Biden might be going around just like handing out $100 bills soon. Biden administration bans non-compete agreements amid opposition from business groups. You know, this is an interesting debate. I lean against this because it's just bigger government involvement. If you sign a contract, you sign a contract. I could understand maybe fundamentally you might have issues with the concept of a non-compete, and there's certainly problems, then don't sign the contract. So to me, it kind of runs in the same line of the student loan deal. You signed on the dotted line to take the student loan. Yeah, you can complain that your education was worthless or it was overpriced. You still signed the contract. So I don't know. I kind of see this both ways. I've heard arguments on this both ways, but to me, it's just more government involvement. If you don't want to be in a non-compete contract, you don't sign a non-compete contract. It's kind of that simple, actually. But to me, that's just more government involvement, more overreach. Who knows? Maybe they think they're buying votes like that. Maybe they think they're buying votes that way. All right. I'm going to get into what's developing on the college campuses here. I don't want to spend too much time on that because we do have Laura Loomer coming on the third hour, and I'm going to really get into it with her. But there's some other developments I want to get into before she joins us. Remember, folks, shopping at InfoWarsStore.com is how we stay on the air. One of my favorite products, Vitamin Mineral Fusion, 40% off right now. It's back in stock. It's 40% off. And I start every morning with Vitamin Mineral Fusion. I drink it to chase down the rest of my supplements from InfoWarsStore.com with. But it tastes great. Great for your health. Over 100% daily value of so many different vitamins and minerals in there. I like to mix it with juice. Tastes even better. Start your day with Vitamin Mineral Fusion. 40% off right now at InfoWarsStore.com. All right, I want to talk about what we're witnessing at college campuses. And we have a bunch of B-roll of this. And I'll just advise the crew to kind of put it on the screen as I'm talking. I don't know if I want to directly reference anything specifically. It's all basically the same. And I think there's some general observations that are undeniable here. And I've been really paying attention, well, as I always do, to the news coverage, but specifically the commentary from the right. And there is a distinction here. In my view, it's my opinion that many commentators on the right, and it does seem to be a generational thing. It does seem to be a generational thing, or shall I say, older conservative commentators and broadcasters and reporters seem to be all in for their support of Israel. Now, that might be for personal reasons. That could just be the way they were brought up politically. But what I think is happening is they're falling for a smokescreen. I believe this is a psyop and a political smokescreen. And it's really unfortunate because to me it's very low IQ to not see through this smokescreen. What am I talking about? Well, I can get up here all day long and talk about dumb liberals and liberal protesters and everything else. And I've gone into the crowds of liberal protesters. And a lot of people, I think, we uploaded a video to band.video. I put it on my Twitter account, got hundreds of thousands of views. Because normally I'll go into these crowds of liberals and ask them questions that expose how dumb they are. But that wasn't the content. I was trying to be unifying. And in this case, I was. Because the truth of the matter is they're not wrong about Israel's influence over our media, Israel's influence over our politicians, and Israel's influence over our foreign policy. You might debate on the situation between Israel and Gaza and the Middle East. Maybe that's a little more complex. But the point is, we're so used to seeing these same college students go out there and protest against guns and protest against white people and protest against Trump or all this other nonsense where, yeah, I can go out there and ask them basic questions and then they just prove how ignorant they are on these things. So why am I calling it a smokescreen? Because the response here is, oh, these are just dumb liberals. These are just dumb college students. These are just dumb communists. And you're completely missing the point. You're falling for the smokescreen. The point is not about whether these college students are dumb liberals or communists. And here's how I would present this to bring it home. We watched for years Antifa run rampant on the streets with almost no response from law enforcement. We watched Black Lives Matter run rampant on the streets with almost no response from law enforcement. In fact, when they had these anti-white demonstrations or Black Lives Matter demonstrations across the nation, do you remember what the response from law enforcement was? They got on their knees. They literally bowed. Okay? Now, I could raise the issue of the border, and you could say, well, look, there's more law enforcement in response to these protesters than there is at the border. I don't think that's the best comparison to make, even though it's fair. That's not the best comparison. The best comparison is taking a look at the years we dealt with Antifa and Black Lives Matter and their rioting and their looting and their burning of cities and their attacking of citizens and destruction of business and destruction of law enforcement. And they were allowed to do that with barely any law enforcement response. In fact, many times the response from law enforcement was to get on their knees and bow to the protesters. But now, some college students want to put up tents in the middle of campus in solidarity with the struggles of the Palestinian people, and we have law enforcement moving in rapidly and viciously and arresting them and shutting it down before it can even really get started. Now, explain that to me. Now, if you assault somebody, if you assault a police officer, if you're blocking entrance to a public building or road, yes, you should get arrested. Absolutely. But where do we decide as conservatives when we stop standing for free speech? We're supposed to be the party of free speech now. But for some reason, we don't support college students' rights to protest Israel? Now, again, the distinction here is pretty clear after observing all the commentary on this. The older generation of conservatives are pretty much all against these people. And then they fall for the psyop and the smokescreen of, oh, these are dumb liberals being astroturfed, which is not inaccurate, but it's not the story. That's not the story. And the neutrally observable fact is that these protests are not allowed, and yet Black Lives Matter or Antifa protests were supported, and law enforcement let them run rampant for years. But some college students pop up a tent on campus, and it gets shut down within hours. And hundreds and sometimes thousands of riot control law enforcement shows up to make sure it gets shut down. Why is that? Why is that? Now, this would lead one to the conclusion that, well, that must mean that there has to be some overwhelming influence deciding which protests get to go on and which don't. There must be some shadow hand saying, no, there will be no anti-Israel protests. And then you see the results. So then the debate becomes, well, wait a second. Why is it, and again, this is undeniable. This is a neutrally observable fact. Don't play your word games with me. Don't send your attacks at me. If you can't be neutrally honest with yourself, then that's your own problem, and you've fallen for a psyop. So then the obvious question is, why is it that Israel, Or you might say anti-Semitism is the focus here and not allowed to be protested. You can say anything you want on X against white people or black people or Muslim people, but you can't about Israel. You can protest for Black Lives Matter. You can protest for Antifa. You can shut down whole city blocks. You can occupy whole college campuses. You can get police officers to take a knee and bow to you. But when it's anti-Israel, it gets shut down within hours. Law enforcement responds immediately. And then you're going to tell me that something isn't up here? And then you're going to tell me that a certain group is not more protected than others? A certain speech is not more protected than others? When we have legislation that says anti-Semitic speech is illegal? Sorry, Not going to fly here. Now, I got more on this. Israel-backed NGO monitor tracks pro-Palestine college groups. So they're going to try to ruin these people's lives. By the way, most of these are funded by the same people that funded BLM and all the other things, like Jews' Voice for Peace. And it's a lot of the same people behind it, like George Soros. But again, I can just look at Austin specifically, where Greg Abbott let Black Lives Matter and Antifa run rampant. But college students wanting to camp out on the grounds get shut down within hours. Now, I could look at this from a national perspective, and it would apply just as fairly. But I can just look at it from a local perspective here in Austin. We watched Black Lives Matter protests go on for years. We watched the Antifa protests go on for years. They blocked roads. They attacked police officers. They attacked citizens. They destroyed businesses, robbing and looting. And Austin wasn't the worst of it, but we had our moments. Other cities had it much worse. And law enforcement let that go on, didn't come in with a heavy hand, didn't come in and arrest everybody and beat them up and take them off and shut it down immediately. And we watched this go on for years. In 2020 alone, $2.3 billion in property damage from Black Lives Matter riots. The police basically let it happen. Some of these times, they got on their knees. And yet, some college students pop up a tent on campus in solidarity with Palestine. And again, whatever side of the issue you fall on, if you can't at least say that, okay, well, you know, for them to be against Israel destroying the Gaza Strip, killing 30,000 people, well, okay, maybe there's something there. But regardless, how is it that you can't pop up a tent on a college campus and stage a protest, but you can burn and loot and riot for years and law enforcement doesn't come in with nearly as heavy a hand as they did? Here's Greg Abbott talking about this, the governor of Texas. He's kissed the wall. Arrests being made right now and will continue until the crowd disperses. These protesters belong in jail. Protesters belong in jail. What happened to free speech conservatism? What happened to conservatives that believe in free speech? If you're not committing a crime, why should a protester go to jail? If you're not committing a crime, why should a protester go to jail? Greg Abbott says protesters belong in jail. Anti-Semitism will not be tolerated in Texas, but anti-whiteism will. Anti-copism will. Don't take my word for it. We've seen it. We've witnessed it. I've covered it. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, we had to buy an armored truck because going out to these events was so dangerous. That's what I'm saying. I went to that event yesterday, and yeah, there was a little tension, and there were some people, there were some haters out there that, you know, cussed me out and stuff. But I was pretty much able to walk right through there and talk to people, and it remained pretty amicable. And we had some good discussions. When I went out during the Black Lives Matter stuff, when I went out during the Antifa stuff, we had to buy an armored truck because they would attack our vehicles, attack our security guards, attack me, attack our camera people. We would go out. I would go out with women. They'd attack women. There's a famous video where I'm in the truck and they're trying to spear it. Look at that right there, the crew on command. They're trying to spear. They pick up street signs and try to spear through our windows. They come out with hammers and try to bash in our windows. That was Antifa. That was Black Lives Matter. Where's law enforcement? Where's law enforcement? Nowhere to be found. No law enforcement anywhere. They were allowed to run rampant. And then Netanyahu comes out and says, we can't tolerate anti-Semitism on college campuses in the United States. Netanyahu, you're the prime minister of Israel, not the United States. Okay? You don't get to decide what is allowed on college campuses. All speech should be allowed on college campuses. But it's more apparent than ever now. A social caste system has been set up. A social caste system has been set up. And at the top, I guess you would say is Israel or Jewish people, but it's not even fair to say Jewish people because a lot of Jewish people don't even agree with any of this. A lot of Jewish people were out there in the anti-Israel crowd, so it's not even fair to say that. This is all protecting Israel. That's what this is all about, is their influence over our media, politicians, and foreign policy. All right, we're seeing some wild stuff out of California now, specifically San Diego. Now, the mass influx was coming in through Texas for the last 3 years, but then Abbott, after 3 years of the invasion, for political points, decided to actually try to curtail the invasion, and so now they're going to California. And there has been some shock footage, some shock stories. Now they're overwhelming San Diego. And so a couple of people who have documented this and had a couple of viral videos recently are about to be joining me here on the show. And that's Brittany Meyer. You may know her as Rooted Wings, at Brit Rooted on X. We are RootedWings.com. And her cameraman, Corey Gutero, both join me on the show now. And I know you guys have a bunch of footage that you've shared with the crew that you want to air here today. But just generally speaking, has the influx been after Texas decided to close their borders? Is it kind of like been an obvious influx since that moment? Or are people just looking at this now and this has been going on in San Diego for a long time?
Both. We're seeing a huge increase over the last few months. The numbers are staggering. I mean, we just, so you know, this is breaking news. We just, per CBP sources, heard that we officially hit 2,000 illegal foreigners that just came through last night. That's unprecedented. We were already in the top sector out of all the sectors in the nation. The last couple weeks, we were hitting 1,000 daily. But yesterday, we upped that with a huge surge of over 1,000. So we hit 2,000 illegal foreigners, primarily men, primarily Asian, Chinese men, who came through our border just yesterday.
And Corey, you've been shooting a lot of this footage. I know we have some of these videos. You guys sent it to the crew. I mean, is it just so easy to capture this stuff? I mean, how much recon is done for you to know where to go and film this, or is it just everywhere?
Yes, sir. Let me just correct you a little bit. Britt and I are friends. I'm not her cameraman. I am taking videos of this stuff. I live out in the area, so that's how I'm able to get the pictures and videos so easily. I'm also, at this point, people are sending stuff into me because of what's going on. It's a big problem. I'm a few miles from the border. I live out in the Boulevard Campo area. I just got some information right now that there's another large group in Campo right now as we speak, waiting to be picked up. And yesterday, 216 Chinese came through the San Diego sector alone.
Now, 216 Chinese nationals coming across the border would have been enough for an entire year, an entire fiscal year, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago. Now you're saying it's coming in on a daily basis. This is happening.
Yes. And since what you brought up a minute ago with Texas, since Texas has taken action on their own to help solve this problem on their borders, it's pushed stuff over to us. In the last week or 2 weeks, it's just been insane here. It's doubled. Britt knows the numbers better than I do.
Yeah, I want to just tag on to what you brought up with the Chinese illegal foreigners coming through. And again, military-aged men is what we're seeing. You asked if we see them everywhere. Yes and no. San Diego is a sanctuary state, sanctuary county, which means that as soon as these guys hit our sand or our land, they are scot-free. They basically get shuttle service by our border patrol because Newsom has rendered them helpless. And again, helpless. So they get shuttle service from border patrol and then they're street released. So I went down to the IRIS center last weekend, and I'll be totally honest with you. I'm tough. You know, it takes a lot to get under my skin, but it was highly concerning seeing the droves of military age men getting off of the Border Patrol buses in the Iris Center. So after that, they don't just stay in San Diego. What we're hearing is about 95% leave. There were Chinese men who were in cars waiting for a lot of these guys to get in, almost like an unofficial Uber service. And then we know that a lot of them are shuttled with NGO operatives who take them to the Ramada Inn down in San Diego. I have a friend who's been documenting that, or takes them to the San Diego International Airport. And again, I have evidence and documentation that these guys, when they get to the San Diego International Airport, they're not asked for any IDs. They are put into a separate kind of holding area. And then once all the American passengers or those with passports get on the plane, then these guys are given access to the planes and they're sent God knows where. But for the number, in terms of the Chinese nationals in the last 6 months, we have hit 24,200. That's not including the number that came over yesterday. That's our southern border total. Just to give you some perspective, that's more than 53 times all of 2021. And this is just year to date in April. So again, 24,200, that's going to be your last 6 months. 53 times all of 2021 combined for Chinese nationals coming in.
Well, we documented this too. It was actually shocking when you go to the airport and you see that. And of course, you can just test for yourself. I mean, you can try to walk through security without an ID. They're going to laugh at you. And of course, you know, say you're not allowed to pass. And then you turn around and you watch a line of illegal immigrants get security escorted. Actually, they get a security escort into the airport and onto the airplane. So that juxtaposition is incredible to witness. Okay, so this is going on to the airports, and you went to some of these encampments. But just generally speaking, Corey, what about the city? We've been to some of these cities like El Paso, and it gets overrun. Like, you have illegal immigrant encampments, sometimes thousands of them, trash in the streets. Is that going on in San Diego?
Yes, it is. So Supervisor Jim Desmond and Amy Reichert have been reporting on that. The Border Patrol will take these buses and drop people into the cities. And it seems like they drop them at trolley stations or transit stations, and then they just go who knows where from that point. So it's not necessarily camps, like homeless encampments, as you're talking about, but out like in this video right here, that would be a camp overnight or multiple nights. So out in the backcountry of San Diego, there are camps and trash. And one of the big issues right now that we're facing, and I'm sure you remember the Cedar Fire, some of the other big fires that we've had here in Southern California, it gets very cold out here at night. This is the high desert, and they're starting fires, big fires, to keep warm. Now, 40, 50, 60 mile an hour winds blow through here at night. When they get picked up in the morning, nobody puts the fires out. So it's just embers. And those winds are coming through. It's just a matter of time before this backcountry burns down.
Yeah, and I think we've actually seen some footage of that. There might be some in the videos that you sent us here. But yeah, I mean, if you, an American, go out and start a fire and don't put it out, you're probably going to get a ticket. I don't know the California state law, but I believe you'd get a ticket for that.
Yes. You actually have to get a campfire permit on the California.
Oh, you can't even start a fire without a permit.
You got to get a permit. Yeah, I did it yesterday to see what it would take. It's you have to watch a 3-minute video and take a 10-question test.
Now, San Diego, this is a military town, a lot of Navy there. It's kind of a more conservative area than other big cities in California. I mean, what are the people, what's the response from the people here?
The tide is definitely starting to shift. I was out, I do a lot just getting out into the community and talking to people. And I did over the weekend in a more high-end, rich, wealthier area of San Diego that's definitely liberal. And it was interesting. I overheard an elderly lady talking to a homeless vet, and he was complaining that he couldn't get some services. And she was like, well, honey, you should just go over to that place where they're dropping all the illegals and just say you're illegal. We're sending so much money. I'm sick of it. We should be taking care of our own. So I keep telling people that the tide is shifting. And then I also have a catch where people send me anything that they see, right? They're a surfer out in the morning. They see one of the Ponga boats come in. I get so many of those. I get from teachers and soccer moms who are just out in the community and they see things, people at the airport. So when they send that, it's border.rootedwings@protonmail.com. And I get this huge catch. So many of those coming in are from people who might not be, you know, politically aligned with the conservative crew who's been pushing back for a long time, but they're fed up. They're like, this is overtaking our city. We see it as a threat. And that's what I want to emphasize is this is not just a San Diego crisis. This isn't a California crisis. This is a huge national security threat because we're importing these guys. We're essentially turning them into ghost foreigners. You know, you hear politicians talk about ghost guns and the threat of ghost guns. They're untraceable. We are literally making ghost foreigners in California, and then we're exporting them, and they're untraceable. We have no idea why these guys are here. They shred their paper trail. You can talk to Corey about that. He's got so much evidence on what they're doing with their IDs as soon as they cross the border. So we have no idea who these people are, why they're here, or where they're going. And we make them untraceable as soon as they hit California. And then they're out to wherever they're going across the nation.
I will follow up with Corey on that, but I want to follow up with a couple of things you just said, because we kind of joke about that a lot. Like, okay, well, you know, I'll just go claim I'm an illegal. I'll get a free night stay at a 5-star hotel in New York City, or if I'm a homeless American, I'll say I'm an illegal and I'll go get these benefits. I mean, is it even possible though? I wouldn't be surprised if they found out you're an American, that they would actually stop you. Has anybody actually tried that?
That'll be Corey and my next project.
Okay. All right. Well, you can leave it right there. How often do you hear about these boats coming up ashore though?
The boats are becoming an increasing issue. I actually spoke with the guy, let me get you the actual, here we go. Okay. The contract company who has the contract for the entire West Coast in California. So they're the retrieval company. They go out, they retrieve the boats when they come in. Ponga is bigger, it doesn't matter. They are the contract. And so I had a good conversation with him just a couple days ago. And he said that since January, we've had 69 boats that have been retrieved. Now, to give you some idea of that, the boat that went viral in Carlsbad that you might have seen, I think you're showing it right now, that one could fit 30 people in that. That's one of the smaller boats that have been retrieved. So to hit 70, this is a huge escalation of what we've seen in years prior. And obviously the administration has a lot to do with that. We are currently in an administration, both federally and statewide, that gives these guys the green light. And so it's incentivizing more of these boats. As soon as they hit the shore, we lose track of where they're going. We know that there's a cartel link because a lot of times when these boats hit the sand, there's a smoldering piece of wood. Those in the dark of night are like a lighthouse that shows the cartel where to land. And that's why you see this operation where there are SUVs like one street over that are waiting for the 20, 30, 50 people who have crammed onto these boats to jump off and then run into a waiting SUV, and that's it. And then law enforcement does nothing. And we, again, have zero idea where these foreigners are going.
Corey, what do we know about the shredding of their documents?
I have, at this point, thousands of documents. So if you go on vacation somewhere and you bring your passport, your wallet, your luggage, you could lose everything, right? And the most important thing you have is your passport. If you lose your passport, you're in trouble. I have hundreds of passports, hundreds from all kinds of countries I've never even heard of. I have IDs, driver's licenses, school IDs. A lot of them are burnt and or shredded, ripped up. You know, they come across and they, for some reason, they're living on the U.S. side. I don't know why people or why. The government is not documenting these things, but there are, I mean, I have itineraries, I have cell phones, I have everything.
So, I mean, I guess the assumption here is that it just doesn't matter. They just run, they can lose their IDs, passports, whatever. They just run to law enforcement and everything's taken care of.
I come in, I don't have any identification. I'm just John Smith, right?
So, of course, they can't run a background check.
So that's what's important, is that if you look at the whole picture of what's happening here, why would someone who is a migrant seeking asylum shred intentionally their identification as soon as they hit American soil? Doesn't make sense. It makes zero sense unless there's something far more insidious going on and there's intentional reason to shred evidence of who you are as soon as you hit American soil.
Well, how much is this? Because a lot of what we've documented is they run to law enforcement. It's not like they cross the border illegally and try to run and escape. Like, you would think that that's kind of the practice, right? Is, oh, they want to get away. They don't want to get caught. And that does go on. But, I mean, it's probably fair to say, I mean, we don't know the numbers, obviously, but like 90% of the people, they run to law enforcement. They want to get caught, if you will. That's how they get all the benefits. So, I mean, what is the situation in San Diego? Is it the same thing where they run to law enforcement? Or how many of these people, like, wind up on the boats and then just escape into the city and there's no record?
Well, that goes back into the data. So right now in San Diego, California, we just a couple days ago, we hit 130,000 counted illegal foreigners who have come through since October. 130,000. So to put that into perspective, we have Petco Park down in San Diego. It's where the baseball team plays. So if you've been in San Diego and you've been to Petco Park, it would be the equivalent of filling that stadium up to the brim three times over. Now, that's the counted illegal foreigners that have come in. So those would be the ones that have run to law enforcement, okay? Now, there are some estimates that over 60% more have evaded. They're the gotaways. They're the boat crashers. They're the ones who sneak in the dark of night and they run. But not included in that 130,000 count, and this is super important, they don't include the families. Families, everything is in quote, because we know that child trafficking is a huge issue. So they don't include the families. Doesn't include the disabled, doesn't include the vulnerable, doesn't include the LGBT plus alphabet. It doesn't include the beach crashers or those who evade the border patrol. So 130,000 Petco Park three times over is what we have counted in the last few months. That's already an invasion. But on top of that, that number is just the tip of the iceberg. There is a huge, much higher number who's come in that we have not counted. And again, they're scot-free as soon as they're in California, and then they're sent packing to wherever they are being planted throughout the nation.
This is incredible footage that was shot by Corey just a few days ago. I mean, this looks like it could be thousands. But what's odd to me, and I've seen this before too, a lot of these individuals coming across, they don't seem like they're poor or helpless. I mean, some of these have like brand new luggage. I've seen people, they get in and they hop on their smartphone and they're talking about what party they're going to go to. I mean, how much of that do you see, Corey?
They almost all of them have cell phones. They have nicer clothes than I've ever purchased for myself. It is insane to watch. One thing that I want to hit on real quick here is the Biden administration stopped DNA testing on the children that were coming across to see if they were related to the person that they were with. When they were doing the DNA testing, approximately 30% were not related, meaning child trafficking. We have no idea what those numbers are today. No idea.
Well, they've certainly gone up.
Yes.
I mean, who would want to deter child trafficking? Obviously not Joe Biden.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
Well, and what other policy changes? I mean, there have been so many different policy changes. I guess that's the general practice of even having a border. I mean, what about the wall construction? There was some wall, I thought, in San Diego. Did they stop it? Did they tear it down?
The wall is still, they're still actually working on it in some spots. They're working on a lot of drainage areas. The wall is there. There are spots, vast spots in the mountains out where I live, where there is just a barbed wire fence, or in some cases, it's just nothing. And that's where these illegals were coming through a few months ago. They've shifted now because the Mexican National Guard has set up camps on the south side at the three main hot spots in the previous months. So now they're running people further east and further west. And they're actually just cutting the fence and coming right through.
Mm-hmm. Are the citizens of San Diego properly... Do they understand this is all Biden administration policy? Are they gonna vote like they understand that?
I sure hope so. One thing we haven't brought up, and you brought up the Navy housing, and on April 18th, there was a suspect who entered a home in a Navy housing facility and sexually assaulted a 5-year-old girl, and no one has asked the question yet: is that an illegal alien? So we have AB 947, which was signed into law by Gavin Newsom, and it's a privacy law that protects people's immigration status in criminal trials as well. So we can't ask that question now.
Well, this is insane. It's like every policy they put forward is to protect illegal immigrants. Americans don't get that right. To walk the streets of California, you used to have a vaccine card.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. My, how things have changed. I want to tell you the numbers under Trump versus Biden, because some of the pushback that I hear is, well, it was just bad under Trump, or it was really bad under Trump too. Well, actually, that argument can be eviscerated on its face, because Trump's worst year was in 2019. 858,000 illegal foreigners came through our border under Trump in 2019. 858,000 was his worst year. Okay. We are currently sitting under Biden right now for year to date at 2.5 million. 2022, 2.4 million. 2021 was 1.7 million. Just the known gotaways under Biden collectively was 1.8 million. There is a far cry of a difference between Trump's policies and Biden's policies when it comes to national security and the threat at our border.
Well, we actually crunched the numbers. In 3 years of Biden, it was more than the last 10 years combined. And you probably could have gone back as many as like 15 years. We just stopped at 10 just because I guess it was an arbitrary number. Just to say 10, but in 3 years of Biden, more illegal immigrants than the last 10 years combined. Was that first number you gave out, 2.5, was that from 2023?
Yep.
Okay.
So we're increasing, and then we're
It'll
on track.
It'll be 3 million this year, I bet.
Easily, and again, that's just the counted. So it's easily going to hit, I would say, over 3 million by the end of the year, just because we're on track. Like I told you, last night we hit 2,000 in San Diego. We were tracking at 1,000 the week before. So we are seeing a significant increase, and it's going to increase as we get into November, because we know that so much of this is politically motivated come November.
All right, Corey, where can people find more of your incredible footage?
On Instagram, it's the Corey Goat, and on X, it's just Corey Goat.
Okay. And Brittany, where's the best people for to follow your work?
You can go to wearerootedwings.com. I am primarily active on X, and Instagram as our hub.
Well, with any updates, feel free to reach out, and we will report on it right here on the show, and we'll be monitoring your latest updates as well. Thank you guys for joining me this afternoon.
Thank you for having us.
So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, honestly, it's just insane. There's no other conclusion to reach, except that the Biden administration and the Democrats want illegal immigrants in this country. Follow that with any assumption you want, but that conclusion is clear. Your election headquarters, brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com. InfoWarsStore.com. Boy, I'll tell you, I thought my knees and my ankles and my legs would be barking today, but I took bodies after my workout last night. There was some high school basketball players up at the gym. I guess their season just ended, so they came up to the gym to get a workout in. And me and some of the older guys ran with them for 3 hours. I was like, after that, I was just like dead. I could barely even walk off the court. I was like, oh boy, great. The legs, the knees, I'm going to be barking tomorrow. Hit the bodies afterwards and barely even an issue today. I'm telling you, that ultimate turmeric supplement, bodies at InfoWarsStore.com. And there's so many different uses for turmeric. I mean, that's why I like it, is to avoid stiffness and soreness after a workout. And it's just incredible. I notice the difference if I don't hit bodies after a workout versus if I do. The difference is just, it's so obvious. So can't do it. I always hit bodies after a workout, especially after one like that. Trying to run with the high school boys now is a little tougher, but you don't have to limp around the next day like Usher after a Diddy concert. You can walk normally. So bodies, the ultimate turmeric supplement, whole body support, anti-inflammatory support, flexibility support, joint support. I like it for the anti-stiffness, anti-inflammatory, anti-joint inflammation, all of that. That's what's so great with bodies for me, but so many different uses, nothing but 5-star reviews at InfoWarsStore.com. And by the way, right now, you can get it because it's in stock, but it sells out. And it's selling out right now. So that's why we had to cut the sale, because it's selling out. So we're almost out of bodies at InfoWarsStore.com. All right. We got some other stuff we need to cover here. Let's see here. You got Target now locking up all their merchandise because the crime is so out of control. In clip 10, that's a pretty wild sight. And then they say it's racist. Because these stores have to lock up and put their merchandise behind lock and key, like the whole store now, because theft is so rampant. But then they go out to areas that aren't in the cities, and they don't have the whole store under lock and key, and they say, oh my gosh, it's racist. Well, I don't think it has anything to do with skin color. I think it has to do with crime rates. But if you want to look further into that, then that'd be on you. But that is just wild to see. And it's kind of been like that for a while, but not, folks, they have socks and underwear. It's the whole store they have to put under lock and key now. You have to go and you have to find a worker just to unlock the T-shirt cabinet. But I mean, what are you going to do? You can't just get all your products stolen and you shut down. So it's like, oh, they get everything stolen and they shut down. Oh, that's racist. Okay, well, we'll just lock everything so everything doesn't get stolen. Oh, that's racist. Maybe stop stealing stuff. Yeah. And then people don't even want to go to the stores because they don't even feel safe in them. Target owners quit shopping. They feel they're unsafe. Many are taking hard pass, and then they just shut down the stores. So you got that going on. How about the Democrats being upset here? The Democrats are upset because Republicans in Tennessee passed a bill to allow the death penalty for child rapists. The Democrats got really upset about that, almost like it might affect them personally. It was so strange. So here's the Democrats after it was like 77-19, I think was the number. It was overwhelming. All the Republicans voted death penalty, potential death penalty for child rapists. The Democrats voted against the death penalty for child rapists. Maybe that's because they want to stay alive, but I don't know. But here's their response in clip 20.
The death penalty is incompatible with the right to life.
Oh.
Let me say that again. The death penalty is incompatible with the right to life.
So pause it. So the logic here is that, oh, you are pro-life, you're right to life. And so therefore this is illogical and hypocritical for you to want the death penalty for a child rapist. Now, there might be tiny little, maybe 1%, maybe you could allow that. But no, this person was not denied the right to life. This person decided to rape a child. See, there's a difference there. A baby in the womb of a woman has a right to life. A person who's alive and rapes a baby has made a decision with their life that there will be consequences for. Why do the Democrats want to protect child rapists? Continue.
The constitutional ban on cruel and unusual punishment and guarantees of due process of law and equal protection under the law. And my question for you, Leader Lamberth, is do you feel the death penalty repairs the harm caused by this unlawful behavior and is informed by what juvenile survivors of this crime need?
Hello, Mr. Lamberth. I heard you on the radio. I thank you for working on this bill. I will soon be 69 years old. I was molested and raped by my grandfather starting at the age of 6 years old and older. He assaulted my mother and her sister. He tried to molest my two-year-old niece and grabbed her away from him and told everyone there he is not going to touch this child. Even at almost 63, this was happening to me. It still bothers me. It never goes away, no matter what age a victim is. Since he was my grandfather, I would agree to the death penalty even for him. He molested many generations, and this needs to stop. Because this act to the victims, it never goes away. I support the death penalty against child rapists and child molesters. A child is counting on you to keep the child safe. Thank you, and I hope you get this bill passed. Absolutely, it's a deterrent. Let it go forth. from Mountain City to Memphis, if you rape a child in this state, you are forfeiting your own life, period.
Once again, I'm not trying to negate the lived experiences of these survivors of violent crime. I'm not. But don't you feel if a young child knows that their abuser is going to receive the death penalty, that it would deter them from reporting?
Directly from a survivor, my sister and I were abused by my father from a very young age. I just wanted you to know that I appreciate you pushing for the death penalty. I don't think it will stop people from telling about their abuse. Thanks. And then she lists her name.
Representative,
she's lived it. I trust her.
Oh, sorry. Representative Bain.
I mean, you can read testimonies again and again across the state, but the state intervening to kill a human being does nothing to deter the crime. It does nothing to heal.
Does it deter
the survivor? The state is intervening as a violent actor and ending a human life, which is not pro-life. And I'm not defending these individuals. I'm not.
She's not defending the unborn baby. She's defending the child rapist. Yeah. Nice. Good choice. Afton Ben, Democrat from Nashville.
My colleagues. Thank you.
Yeah. Literally. Time to shut down.
Oh, no. We're not done yet. For almost 50 years, I've been praying for Tennessee to issue the death penalty for child rapists. Most people do not understand.
This is beautiful. Good for Tennessee. Now let's be clear about something here as we go to break, because this is the important distinction we have to understand between law and justice. Now, just because there's a law on the book that says you can have capital punishment, the death penalty for a child rapist, that doesn't mean that that's going to be exclusively the punishment every time. So there might be cases where it's like, yeah, this person needs to be put to death. There might be cases where you say this person maybe just needs to spend the rest of their life in prison. But the problem is right now, child rapists and pedophiles get very, very nice treatment from the justice system. And from somebody who's been inside, everybody inside the system knows that. You'll get a harsher penalty for dealing weed than for kitty diddling. You know, part of that massive spending bill, they keep calling it a TikTok ban, and that's really a misnomer. It's not a TikTok ban. They just want the Chinese national that owns majority stake in it to sell it to somebody a little more conducive. Put it lightly. But aside from that, look what unusual whales noticed. They cover political trading, politicians trading, and how they get so rich doing it. TikTok disinvestment bill has passed. Numerous politicians bought Meta beforehand. In fact, Michael McCall is the author of the bill, and he bought up to $600,000 of Meta a year ago before voting. And, of course, they list all the other politicians in here. They're all purchasing the competitors of TikTok as they vote to have it. I mean, they're not really shutting it down. I don't expect it to shut down. But who knows? Maybe they try to get a different stakeholder, shareholder, majority, and then they do shut it down. So, okay. That's how they rig job you. So they vote. So they buy up stocks and weapons manufacturers and contractors, and then they start wars. Even Ro Khanna's spouse, I guess, buying. It's just sick, man. It's just sick. Pelosi made $1 million on the stock market the other day. So did Mitt Romney. Wouldn't you like to be them? I got to tell you, some days I think about just hanging up the microphone and just following Nancy Pelosi's trades. I'd be rich. Wouldn't have to deal with this crap. Wouldn't have to deal with getting politically persecuted and censored. And no, I could just be rich. Just
Do the exact same stock trades that Nancy Pelosi does every day, and you will be rich like her. But isn't that something? Oh, invest in the competitors of TikTok and then vote on a bill to disinvest in TikTok. Just unbelievable corruption. Hey, the UN climate chief says we have 2 years left to live. 2 years left or we're dead. We've been hearing that for a while. Here's a report from 40 years ago. Here's a report from 40 years ago. 40 years ago, mainstream news telling you we're almost all dead because of climate change. Clip 26.
Federal report today predicted possible catastrophic warming of the Earth by the 1990s with a strong climate change.
What the scientists are telling us, we don't get our act together within the next 8 or 9 years. We're talking about cities all over the world, major cities going underwater.
And meanwhile, Saudi Arabia is underwater because of man-made climate change, but that's cloud seeding that they do here, and then they tell you doesn't exist. It's a clown world, and we're just living in it. It's a clown world, and we're just living in it. Here's another clown world policy. Men competing with women in sports at the college level. This is just ridiculous. The fact that Riley Gaines, this was the swimmer who got second place to the dude in a female swimsuit, Leah Thomas, who's currently suing so that he can compete in the women's division of the Olympics. Why not just have a whole trans division? Why not just have a whole trans division? I mean, it'd all be men anyway competing because that's it. Because then it would be men competing against men again. So having a trans division wouldn't make any sense. Because it would just be men competing against men. It would just be the minor leagues, basically. But if it's a man and they want to compete and win, then they just go and compete as a woman. So they don't want to compete against other trans people. They just want to compete against women. So here's Riley Gaines talking about how the NCAA is now having to meet because Biden just passed a new policy that men can compete against women on college sports. And so here's Riley Gaines talking about the absurdity of this clown world now where college women, female athletes, are going to have to compete against men. And it's not just compete on the field. They're going to have to compete for scholarships, too. So this is Riley Gaines talking about it here.
Calling all athletes, former athletes, collegiate athletes, high school athletes, what have you, we need you. You may have seen last week where the NAIA, which is a national collegiate governing body, voted overwhelmingly in support of preventing men from competing in women's sports. I think the vote was 25-0. The NAIA was the first collegiate governing body to take the bold first step in prioritizing fairness and safety over inclusion. Well, the NCAA is set to vote on a similar ruling next week. What the NCAA has done up until this point is explicitly violate Title IX in its original intent by openly and actively discriminating against women on the basis of our sex, as it pertains to opportunities, as it pertains to privacy in areas of undressing and safety in our sports. And the NCAA continues to allow this to happen every sport, every level, every division on college campuses across the country. So what can we do about it? The NCAA needs to be inundated with emails coming from girls and women or parents who would specifically be impacted or have been impacted by this movement at the hands of the NCAA.
All right, so she obviously goes on with a call to action here. I got to say, though, I don't think that will work. I'm just going to be honest. I don't think that works at all. I think they could get flooded with millions of emails from girls and female athletes. It won't make a difference. You know, reverse psychology has an impact. There's a reason why reverse psychology is a real phenomenon and a psychological application. You want to know what would actually stop this? Is, I mean, however you want to phrase it, let's say conservatives or men stepping up and saying, no, we like this. We want men to dominate women's sports. And that would actually reverse this. If a million men sent an email to the NCAA saying, I can't wait for this. Men are going to dominate college sports now. There'll never be another women's champion. Men rule, you know, masculinity is superior. That would shut it down the next day. But if it's a bit, if they get a million emails
from women athletes saying, oh, please don't take my scholarship. Please, I want to compete. I want to swim in college. It's always been my dream to compete in the NCAA, but if I have to compete against men, I'm never going to win. Trash. Won't make an impact at all. But I'm telling you, if men sent it and said, this is great, I can't wait to compete as a woman. This is great, I could never win a championship as a man, but now that I compete against women, we can. This is great, my entire men's team from high school is going to transition and compete for the female Louisville Swim Club. There won't be another woman on the team forever. Awesome, this is great, we're rewriting the record books. It would be shut down tomorrow. All right, Democrats want to shut down you questioning elections. They want to make it a crime. I'm not even kidding you. This is the Arizona Attorney General, who, keep in mind, she won her race by less than 1,000 votes. She had ballots thrown out in Republican states, almost 10,000 ballots thrown out in Republican states, because it probably would have flipped the election results. And now she's indicted Republicans who question election results. This is her announcement.
I'm Arizona Attorney General Chris Mays. Let me start by thanking everyone for your patience as we conducted a thorough and professional investigation over the past 13 months into the fake elector scheme in our state. I understand for some of you today didn't come fast enough, and I know I'll be criticized by others for conducting this investigation at all. But as I have stated before and will say here again today, I will not allow American democracy to be undermined. It's too important. The investigators and attorneys assigned to this case took the necessary time to thoroughly piece together the details of the events that began nearly 4 years ago. They followed the facts where they led, and I'm very proud of the work they've done to date. We're here because justice demands an answer to the efforts that the defendants and other unindicted co-conspirators allegedly took to undermine the will of Arizona's voters during the 2020 presidential election. Arizona's election was free and fair. The people of Arizona elected President Biden. Unwilling to accept this fact, the defendants charged by the state grand jury allegedly schemed to prevent the lawful transfer of the presidency. Whatever their reasoning was, the plot to violate the law must be answered for, and I was elected to uphold the law of this state. The scheme, had it succeeded,
part of the law,
would have deprived
the way they questioned the election. All right, that's it. So there you go, folks. I mean, you already knew it. The Democrats have gone full authoritarian. They want one-party rule. And so are you surprised they're indicting you for questioning an election, even though they stole it? So they steal the election, you try to investigate it, they throw you in jail for investigating it.
NFL stadiums have walls, and fans that haven't paid for a ticket aren't allowed in. Period. Doesn't matter if you've traveled thousands of miles, or if you have a little kid with you, or if you cry outside the gate, they still won't let you in. Fascinating concept.
Yeah, you know, that's true. He's right about that. That logic wouldn't apply to the border of a country, though. I mean, well, come on. Let's not be ridiculous here. Adam Schiff, who's done enough dirty work for the Democrats, they're going to try to give in to the Senate. It's funny. He says journalism is not a crime because Wall Street Journal reporter Evan Gershkovitz's appeal was rejected in Russia. So Schiff is using this as an anti-Russian trope. But he's right. Journalism isn't a crime, except Democrats like to censor and imprison journalists and political opposition here in the United States of America. So it's funny that he would point the finger at Russia when Democrats do that right here. How Adam Schiff isn't the one in a container like that is actually shocking. The guy who lies multiple times to the American people, to the media, I mean, just outright lies about the Trump-Russia collusion, claims he has all this evidence he doesn't have. But now he's going to run for Senate. So you might have that crook. You might have that freak pencil neck Schiff in the Senate, which is absolutely insane. FBI director rejects Trump's vow to investigate political rivals. And so this is them just creating this straw man. It's like when they say, oh, Trump's going to have a revenge tour. Well, no, if there's criminals in our government that needs to be investigated, they should be. But how ironic is it when they're the ones going after Trump? They're the ones investigating Trump. They do the Mueller report, everything else, impeach him twice. They find nothing. And then they say, oh, well, we're not going to let Trump go after his rivals. Democrats are above the law. FBI director warns of TikTok's danger, but the border is wide open. FBI director has been sounding alarm on heightened threat environment. Is America listening? Well, not really. FBI Director Christopher Wray has warned lawmakers that the threat of terrorism has risen to a whole other level since October 7th. Folks, I think the buildup is pretty obvious here. I would say the buildup is pretty obvious. Open the border. A bunch of terrorists come in. You start the whole anti-Israel stuff on the college campuses. False flag, whether it's an actual terrorist or not, is irrelevant. The blame is because the policy at the southern border. The blame is because the Biden administration has just caused geopolitical tensions and hatred to rise. So, yeah, I mean, you put a bunch of cheese and a bunch of rats come and eat it. Like, oh, look, we got a rat infestation. Well, yeah, you put the cheese out there. You leave a bunch of, you know, crumbs on your floor, you're going to get bugs. So that's what they've done here. And they keep warning, oh, don't go to large gatherings. Don't go to sporting events. Don't go to concerts. Terror attack imminent. Well, so, but why is the border still wide open? Secret Service agent assigned to Kamala Harris after exhibiting distressing behavior. Officials say, well, I'd be distressed if I had to hang around her all day, too. But apparently this individual was acting crazed and, like, speaking in tongues, provoking other officers physically. I mean, they wouldn't go to such lengths just to avoid having to be in Kamala's presence anymore, would they? We haven't crossed that threshold, have we? I don't know. What would you do to get away from Kamala Harris? How desperate would you be to get away from Kamala? What did Montel Williams call her when she was dressed up in the, you know, the thing? Oh, by the way, New York appeals court overturns Harvey Weinstein's 2020 rape conviction in landmark Me Too trial. Well, look, the truth is, I'm not saying innocent or guilty. I'm saying that Harvey Weinstein was just the fall guy for the whole Me Too movement to go after Trump. So they're just letting him off the hook now. The notorious Laura Loomer joining us now in the third and final hour of the InfoWars War Room. All right, Laura, we could talk about Trump and the rigged trial and everything. Everybody knows it's rigged. Everybody knows the Democrats are corrupt. Everybody knows it's coming from the White House. Trump is innocent. All this stuff. Maybe we can get into that. But your takes on the Israel-Gaza situation and the college campus stuff is much hotter right now. So I'd rather just jump into that. Are you cool with that?
Yeah, whatever you want to do, that's fine with me.
Okay, so you said, this was actually earlier this morning, 38 universities now have Hamas encampments on campus. What do you mean, Hamas encampments?
Well, I'm calling them what they are. They're openly supporting Hamas. I was recently in Columbia. I was in New York last week, actually, Owen, where I was reporting on the Trump trial. And it was hard to evade these Palestinian rioters because they were not only taking over college campuses in New York City, but also they were protesting. And I say that in quotation marks because, you know, there's a big difference in this country between the First Amendment, free speech, and I'm a free speech absolutist, and then openly supporting designated Islamic terrorist organizations. I have a video that you can play. I had a Hezbollah flag that was actually flown in my face while people were chanting, kill all Zionists, death to all Zionists, and Jews belong at the bottom of the ocean. And Hezbollah was designated as a foreign terrorist organization by the United States government in 1997. And then in 2001, of course, after 9/11, it was also globally designated as a terrorist organization. Hamas is also designated as a terrorist organization. And yet you have people openly wearing Hamas bandanas. I'm not making this up. We got it on video. Holding signs at Columbia that says Al-Qassam's in reference to Al-Qassam brigades, a part of Hamas, next target with an arrow pointed towards Jewish students. And so these are Hamas encampments. They are openly chanting in favor of Hamas. They are saying, we are Hamas. One of them did a Hitler salute and said, long live Hamas. I got that on video. That was right in front of my face. And you're seeing the same rhetoric and the same type of people showing up at these other universities. I think that Columbia probably has the most aggressive display of these open Hamas supporters, and now the UC schools as well. But this is a national security threat. You saw over 20 arrests yesterday at University of Texas in Austin, where people were also making genocidal chants. And this is no longer just about a dispute regarding foreign policy in Israel. I don't care if people want to criticize Israel. I've made that very clear. If you want to criticize Israel, go ahead. If you're opposed to foreign aid, great. I'm opposed to foreign aid as well. But you're not seeing these college students focus their dialogue on topics of foreign policy, foreign aid. No, they're openly supporting Hamas and physically intimidating and assaulting Jews. And I don't go to Columbia, but I was recognized, obviously, because, yeah, I'm Jewish. I'm a Zionist. I'm a well-known conservative journalist. And some of these students at Columbia recognized me, and they started chanting, "Kill all Zionists," in my face. It's just not protected speech. It's,
well, you did say you did say you don't give a crap, and I'm censoring that, about Gaza and F everyone in Gaza. So I'm sure that didn't really help your cause.
I don't care about Gaza. I'm
well,
American
okay.
First.
So are you surprised that people would chant that? Then
we're on the verge of losing our country.
Laura, hold on a second. I agree. I went to the protest in Austin yesterday, and I tried to make it about foreign aid and say, "Hey, look, let's talk about the real issues here. Let's not be distracted." But, I mean, come on. To call these people Hamas, I can go put on a bear costume. I'm not a grizzly bear, Laura. These are liberal college students that
are
falling for the latest protest of the month.
"We are Hamas."
I can chant, "I'm a bear." I can go burrow into the woods and grizzly bear and growl. That doesn't make me a bear. These are not literally Hamas agents, Laura.
It's not the same thing. It's not the same thing. If you were to say, "I'm a grizzly bear," people might think that you had a wild imagination. If you're saying, "We are Hamas," that is a threat that needs to be taken seriously. We have active Hamas and Hezbollah terror cells that are currently in all 50 states. Just the other day,
I would not disagree with that. Those are not the college students.
They are, though, actually. They are recruiting from these college campuses. And There are several Islamic terrorist organizations, including ISIS, that use the radical students on college campuses for the sake of recruitment. You had a famous case out of the University of Alabama a couple years ago where an ISIS bride was recruited, and she was actually from her dorm room recruiting people to join ISIS and, you know, leave the United States and go over to Syria to fight for ISIS. Okay, you have a lot of this activity. You have it at Minnesota, University of Minnesota. You have it in places like Detroit, where now you have active ISIS terror cells. The FBI has found that we have active Hamas and Hezbollah terror cells. And thanks to Joe Biden and his open border policies, the most active Hezbollah and Hamas terror cell in this country is located in Houston, Texas. The second largest Hamas and Hezbollah terror cells are located in Tampa, Florida, where you had people yesterday violating Florida law, protesting with a facial covering, which is a violation of Florida statutes, chanting in support of Hamas. I think that we need to take it very seriously, or else we are going to have a second 9/11 on steroids. We already saw what happened in Russia a few weeks ago, where ISIS-K attacked and hundreds of people were maimed and killed.
Oh, come on.
Like
those were run by Ukrainians. If they were ISIS, they would have committed suicide. It was a Ukrainian attack, Laura.
Not necessarily. There's all types of, what? There's every... Every single year, these Islamic terrorist organizations, they publish in their publication, it's called Dabiq. It's their official publication, Owen, and they change up their strategies all the time, where they say, "Oh, well, you know, this flavor of jihad this month is going to be vehicular jihad. Then it's going to be arson jihad. Then it's going to be love jihad." I mean, they have all different types of jihad where they encourage people to, you know, commit suicide bombings, or perhaps they're going to escape. And these people try to escape, but they pledged allegiance to the Islamic State, and the Islamic State took credit.
I don't even want to get off on this tangent. I mean, why would the Islamic State attack Russia? Why would the Islamic State attack Russia?
I'm simply saying that we are on the verge of having our own similar, you know, whether it's ISIS, whether it's Al-Qaeda, whether it's Hamas, whether it's Hezbollah, We're on the verge of having our own attack. And just a few weeks ago, we saw that Joe Biden quietly, through the Twitter account for immigration services in our country, decided to announce in the middle of the night that they were going to be giving work permits to Palestinians. Why are we giving work permits to Palestinians, especially in the middle of a war right now, when people are chanting death to America and death to Israel in the streets of America?
Well, I think we're being set up, Laura. I think we're being set up. And the reason why they want this standoff happening at the college campuses is to raise the tensions and cause a terror attack. I agree that at this point, probably a terror attack is imminent, and they're going to take more of our freedoms, and they're going to lock us down, more censorship, more spying, everything else. I think at this point that buildup is obvious. But come on, you're going to call these college protests riots?
Yes, they're riots. They are attacking police officers.
There have been some attacks on police officers.
They were assaulting police officers. The police officers had to respond in riot gear.
Okay. So why is it?
But let me tell you, I was there on the very first day, Owen, of the Columbia protest, when it was just a protest. But then they started obstructing the subway system. They started charging the subway system. We got that on video. They had to actually send NYPD police officers in riot gear into the subway system. It was a full blown riot.
That's not a full-blown riot. I agree that that's criminal behavior. And if you block a road or an entryway to any public establishment or private establishment, that is a crime. You should be arrested. If you assault a police officer, that is a crime. You should be arrested. But to rank this as a riot, Laura, we watched police stand down for an entire year in 2020 when Black Lives Matter rioted. For years, we watched Antifa and Black Lives Matter set up encampments and block roadways and all this stuff, and there was hardly any police response. They took a knee.
And there should have been.
So why is this getting shut down? Why the double standard, Laura? I think this is what people want to know. Why the double standard?
There isn't a double standard.
You just admitted there was a double standard.
No, look, I don't think there's a double standard at all. In fact, I think that the police, the NYPD and counterterrorism have allowed for these people to get way out of control. I was also at the riot that occurred on Wall Street the first day of the Trump trial, where you had people openly waving Hamas and Hezbollah flags and physically assaulting people in the streets. And the police were just standing there. And you'd ask them, hey, you know, what about this person? They're actively, you know, supporting a terrorist organization. And they were separating people based off their support for Israel or the Palestinians. And so I wouldn't actually say that there's been a heavy law enforcement presence. The president of Colombia, who is a Muslim from Egypt, by the way, originally said that these encampments were going to be removed. They were supposed to have on the second day of these protests, NYPD physically remove and take down the encampments, and they have buses. But I noticed after being outside of Colombia for hours that the buses were empty. They were not arresting anybody. And so they gave a stand down order to police. And then talking to these NYPD police officers, they said, well, we need to have written permission from the president of the university in order to actually physically remove the encampment and arrest students. And the president wanted to, you know, convey during this congressional hearing that she was going to take action, but she didn't actually take action. And then just yesterday, she sent out an email allowing them to stay for another 48 hours. And I'm sure that's going to be extended as these encampments continue to grow. And so I would say that they are riots. When you have Jewish students being physically intimidated and attacked and told that, oh, a Zionist has entered the encampment, a Jew has entered the encampment, surround the enemy. I mean, this is totally not protected free speech. It's intimidation, it's harassment, and it is open support and the aiding and abetting of Islamic terrorism, designated Islamic terrorist organizations in this country.
Do you think that college students should be allowed to have an encampment to support Gaza or the Palestinians?
No. I don't.
But you said you were a free speech absolutist.
If you want to have a protest, like a genuine protest, okay, it has to be peaceful. This is not peaceful.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying just an encampment, just standing there holding a flag, waving a sign. I'm not talking about criminal activity.
Yes, you should be allowed to protest peacefully. But they're trying to distort the meaning of the term encampment, because what this has turned into is not just a simple display of support for Gaza and the Palestinians in the middle of the community campus squares, as they call them, or the plazas, or the Harvard Green, as they call it at Harvard University. But now what you're having is a physical form of intimidation called an encampment that has been erected in the middle of the plaza where all students have to walk in order to get to their classes, where all students have to walk in order to get to their dormitories. And instead of just peacefully sitting there and protesting in an encampment and minding their own business, they are actively seeking out conflict. They are actively seeking out confrontation with Jewish students, with Jewish professors, and people that do not agree with them. Videos of this can be seen with Jewish students walking across the lawn of Columbia University, and then a drove of Palestinian supporters and Palestinian students following them with a bullhorn saying, "We have identified a Zionist. We have identified a Jew in the encampment. Please form a human chain." And then they circle these people with a human chain. That is not protest. That's not an encampment. They're basically trying to create their own modern day gulags. Okay, their own modern day gulags in the middle of these universities where parents, people from all walks of life, people from all beliefs and backgrounds are paying upwards of $75,000 a year or more to get an education. An education is not doom. It's not even an education. It's Marxist indoctrination.
Well, and that's part of the problem here. But that's what I'm saying. Most of this is like a leftist smokescreen, and conservatives are falling for it. These people are just leftist communists that fall for the latest AstroTurf protest of the month. They probably couldn't even locate Israel on a map. They probably couldn't even point where Gaza was in Israel if they were asked. They don't have a clue what's going on. I'm sure you've seen the video where the girl's like, "Well, I really don't even know what we're doing out here. We're just protesting." So, I mean, that's what I'm saying. To call them Hamas is just ridiculous.
People, because we have a video, and I haven't posted it yet. Perhaps I should post it. But they're essentially finding at-risk youth. They had a group of black youth. They looked like teenagers. Honestly, these guys looked like they were probably 15, 16, 17 years old. And they were holding the signs upside down. And I was like, "What flag are you waving?" And the guy goes, "Oh, I don't know." And then he just goes, "F Israel." And it's like, "Well, why do you say F Israel?" Right? And they can't even answer their questions. And then they have these, you know, chaperones or handlers that are supposed to be monitoring them. And one of these women in the video says, "Oh, don't talk to them. Don't talk to them. Don't talk to these kids." And it's like, well, if they're kids, why are you giving them propaganda posters and having them fly Palestinian flags and they don't even know what they're talking about? These are clearly coordinated paid protests, okay, or riots. You want to call them a protest, you want to call them a riot, whatever you want to call them.
I would not, I would say these have not grown to be classified as a riot. I mean, I would say criminal activity is happening and maybe some violence.
Maybe not all of them, but the demonstrations at the University of Austin is certainly a riot. And
no,
the demonstration
not at all.
At Columbia,
not even close. Laura, I was there. Laura, I've been to the protests in Austin. They let Black Lives Matter and Antifa.
Columbia.
They let Black Lives Matter and Antifa burn buildings, assault people, ransack, loot, destroy entire cities, and the cops stand idly by. That's a riot, and it gets allowed to happen.
It was a riot. And just because police didn't take action and they should have taken
action. What activity
at
UT would you classify as a riot?
There should have been a more aggressive response. There should have even been a more aggressive response from the Trump administration during these riots. And I know that, you know, President Trump has received some criticism for that. There should have been a stronger response to addressing these people. However, just because one thing was a riot and there wasn't a strong enough response doesn't mean that this doesn't classify as being a riot.
How does UT classify as a riot? What did you see that would classify that as a riot?
I saw videos. I had John Guandolo on my show yesterday, who's a national security consultant, former FBI agent who specializes in training law enforcement across the country and how to identify threats of Islamic terrorism. And he said that he would classify it as a riot. He said that this is a breeding ground.
I'm asking you, what did you see that classifies this as a riot?
Videos of students trying to charge through police with riot gear and assaulting police officers.
So that was a couple instances. It wasn't sustained behavior. There were no fires, no buildings burned, no property damage. There were some scuffles with police.
I don't think that there necessarily has to be a fire in order for something to be classified as a riot. I would say that anytime police have to show up in riot gear in order to control a mob of people, when you have an unruly
mob. Okay, so again,
that
brings us back to Black Lives Matter and Antifa.
I would say that's a riot.
Those were real riots. Let me ask you this. Do you think that anti-Israel activity is taken more seriously than any other form of protest?
I don't I wouldn't necessarily call it anti-Israel. I would say that it's openly pro-Islamic terrorism. And I said this today in a post. Stop calling these people anti-Israel protesters. These people, like you said, they can't even identify Israel on a map. They don't even know what they're talking about when it relates to foreign policy. They have no idea what they're talking about. They
You're the one calling them Hamas.
They're making genocidal chants and calling for Hamas to kill all Zionists. This is just blatant Jew
hatred. Laura, you know better than to take these people seriously, Laura.
You ask me my opinion. Don't ask questions you don't want answers to.
You're not being fair. You're not being honest with yourself. You know these people are not terrorists. These college students are not engaging in terrorism, Laura, because they hate Israel or Jews. That is not terrorism.
If you are openly waving Hezbollah flags and wearing Hamas bandanas and chanting "Long live Hamas," and you can play those videos for your viewers, I mean,
I'm not denying those videos exist. I'm not denying any of this exists. I'm saying those are not radical Islamic jihadists. Those are college liberals falling for the latest protest of the month.
How do you know that they're not involved in jihadist recruitment activities? Where do you get a Hamas bandana in the United States of America? Where do you get a Hezbollah flag in the United States of America? Have you ever tried?
Search it on Amazon Googling right now. Online? I bet I can get 100 on Amazon.
I don't know. Can you?
I don't know. We'll search it right now. I bet you can buy 100 of them right
ISIS
now.
Flags online.
They'll probably sell them at Target.
Sensors and filters.
I would say that we have a real threat because the southern border is wide open. And there could be
Absolutely.
Actual terrorists coming into this country. These protests are just a smokescreen.
Where is the number one active Hamas and Hezbollah terror cell? And these are Iranian proxies. These are the people that these Palestinian protesters, rioters, whatever you want to call them, are supporting. They're supporting Hamas and Hezbollah. And you know what he said to me? He said, Houston, Texas. Houston, Texas is the number one location right now. You're in Texas. And why is that? It's because the border's wide open. I just got back from the Darien Gap in Panama. And you have Hamas and Hezbollah terrorists that are coming in through Venezuela, coming in through Panama, and they are facilitating a lot of their recruitment and jihadist activities in the Darien Gap. And a lot of these people are making their way to the Mexican border to enter the United States of America. So, yes, we are probably going to be attacked by Iranian proxies who make their way to our country via the open border. And these are the same types of people and terrorist organizations that these students on college campuses are expressing blatant support for when they say Al-Qassam's next target. Long live Hamas. We are Hamas. We are Hezbollah. It's just, if you care about the border,
No. Again, these college students don't know what's going on. They're falling for the latest protest of the month. They want to go out there and feel good about themselves.
Doesn't it concern you that this is supposedly the cream of the crop? These are Ivy League students. These are supposed to be.
But here's the problem. Don't you understand? We're not even talking about the real issue. The real issue is the southern border. The real issue is how many terrorists could be. From any country, they could be coming in.
Exactly.
The college students are just a smokescreen.
I want to talk about this. I think that these protests are distractions and they're intended to distract from other things that matter, like the border, like the weaponization of government. But they are now creating so much instability in our country that unfortunately, this is what they're doing. They're agents of chaos, which is why I think that they're being propped up and funded. Some of these people don't even know what they're talking about. But some of these people really do know what they're talking about, like the people from within our lifetime. Within our lifetime is one of the main organizations, Palestinian organizations, that is helping to facilitate and organize these organized riots, protests, whatever you want to call them. Nardine Kassawi, I believe that's how you pronounce her name, even if it's not, don't really care. She got arrested for her activities in New York City about a week or so ago. And then she went back to Colombia and she was chanting genocidal chants from the river to the sea and, you know, praising Hamas and making these chants in front of a Hezbollah flag that was waving behind her while fire bombs, cracklers, or whatever you want to call them, were going off. So these are the main organizers. She's the one that is leading the charge on social media and in all these different Telegram group chats and is organizing with groups like.
All right, hold that thought. We got to take a break. We'll be right back with Laura Loomer. All right. We found some headscarves on Amazon. Laura, we're going to go ahead and send you a couple of these. We can, guys, pull up the
Pull up the Hamas ones, not the Islamic Jihad. Pull up the nice. Yeah, there we go. We'll send you a couple of these, Laura, so you can have an option on which one you want to wear. This is Amazon, the biggest site in the world, by the way. You can buy hundreds of these. We'll send you a couple so you have some options. Maybe
kafia.
You can.
That's kafia. Where's the actual Hamas?
These are the ones they're wearing. Yeah. These are the exact ones they're wearing. We'll send you a couple. Maybe you can blend in and they won't hate you so much.
I'm talking about the actual Hamas flag on a bandana. I have video. Can you buy that one?
You have the. I'm sure we can. I can. Anybody can buy it. Maybe you can put one on and you can sneak into one of these deals. But I don't know. They might feel your. They might just sense your Jew energy. So I don't know. It might be impossible. It'll be like me at an anti-Trump rally. All right. Let me ask you this. What do you think about Netanyahu right now? Do you like him calling for censorship on college campuses? Do you think he's a good leader for Israel? Where do you stand on Netanyahu?
I think that his leadership after October 7th has been weak. I think that this has been prolonged longer than it needs to be. And Israel should have taken a more forceful and stronger action in the immediate aftermath of the October 7th attacks. I don't understand why this has taken so long. Obviously, it's what you would call urban
more
warfare
forceful.
Now.
What more could they do? I mean, they've like annihilated the Gaza Strip.
Well, I don't think they've annihilated it. I mean, you still have Hamas terrorists and you still have people in Gaza who are openly supporting terrorism. So I don't think that you've seen a total annihilation of Hamas yet. And I don't understand why it's taking so long, especially for a country like Israel that is supposed to have some of the most sophisticated surveillance technology and, you know, warfare technology in the world. So I think that whether we're talking about the handling of October 7th or even his handling of COVID and his agreements with Pfizer to allow for Israel to become a petri dish, a scientific experiment, as he said, allowing for all of Israel's medical records to be turned over to Pfizer so that, you know, Israel could lead the world in the vaccine science as it relates to the COVID jab. I think that Netanyahu has done a lot of things that are questionable. But I think that his response to addressing these jihadist terrorists in the aftermath of October 7th has been slow. And talking to people I know who live in Israel, they agree. And I think that that's also why there are protests in the streets. And a lot of the people that were protesting were originally for Netanyahu at first, but we still have hostages, right? Why is it taking so long to get hostages back? I think that there could be some better negotiating going on here.
I'd be surprised if the hostages are even live anymore, quite frankly, is my guess. And there's no pressure on the Biden administration in regards to that either.
Some of them are. Yesterday, Hamas released a video of a hostage by the name of, I believe his name is Hirsch Goldberg. You can pull it up, but they released a video yesterday. He's been held hostage for over, I believe, 201 days, and he's a Floridian. And they released a video of him. His arm was blown off at the Nova Music Festival. And in the video, you can actually see him. His parents released a video statement yesterday, and one of his arms has been amputated. And you can see that it wasn't exactly sewn up very well. He looks emaciated. He looks very ill. But his parents said that they were relieved to see that he's alive, but they're also very concerned about his condition. So some of these people are still alive. I'm sure that some of them have been killed. I'm sure that some of them will be killed if they're not already dead. But some of these hostages are still alive. And you have to ask yourself why the Biden administration is not doing anything to try to bring these hostages home. It's almost like they've just completely abandoned them. These are American citizens. I want people to understand, you know, it's very offensive when you have college students and you say, oh, these are just college students. They don't know what they're doing. Well, they shouldn't be at an Ivy League institution if they are too stupid to understand the implications of their actions and their words. There are dual citizens. There are people that have Israeli citizenship. There are people that have American citizenship. There are people that just have American citizenship who were studying abroad in Israel. People are held hostage, and some of the current hostages are American citizens. And
yeah,
people
there's
just
no
want
pressure.
To say that
there's really no pressure on the Biden administration, really. I mean, I'm not hearing anything in
there
the
isn't.
Media. I'm not hearing anything in Congress.
No.
They've kind of let him off with a pass here. Let me get your response to what I mean, I don't think this is a theory. I think that this is exactly what happened. Maybe you disagree. I think Netanyahu's approach here was to stand down on October 7th to give him the excuse to take over the Gaza Strip. And that would be his legacy, is to conquer the Gaza Strip and expand Israel and have that nice beachfront property.
I think that's what this is all about from Netanyahu. I think it's a political legacy thing, and that's why that's how I explain all his actions. Would you agree or disagree with that?
I don't know what kind of legacy he's trying to leave, because I don't really see there being any positive legacy in a time of war. I don't think that people are very, and I'm talking about people who originally supported Netanyahu, are satisfied or pleased with his response to October 7th. Like I said, there are still hostages. Why, if they have decimated the Gaza Strip, if they have decimated Hamas, as you just said, why are there still hostages?
Where
are
the hostages? I said they decimated the Gaza Strip, not Hamas.
But where are the hostages, right?
I don't think they care. That's what I'm saying. I don't think they care. I think the agenda here is to demolish Hamas, conquer it, and take the land.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if I necessarily agree with that. I think that Hamas needs to be abolished altogether. But look, there was a ceasefire that existed in the hours before October 7th. So to everybody that's chanting ceasefire now and free Palestine, and you know, they're calling Israel a genocidal state, why is there zero accountability for Hamas that broke the ceasefire? There was a ceasefire that existed. If you want your ceasefire, you had your ceasefire in the moments before October 7th.
Do you think the IDF stood down on October 7th?
Accountability. What?
Do you think the IDF stood down on October 7th?
I think that our intelligence agencies here in the United States of America would share intel with Mossad. I mean, it's well known that the United States and Israel have intel agreements. They share intelligence, especially as it relates in the region to combating Islamic terrorist organizations like Hamas and Hezbollah. I think that was severely compromised, especially when you look at the fact that the head of intelligence at the National Security Council under the Joe Biden administration is a Palestinian BDS, Israel-hating Palestinian Muslim by the name of Maher Bitar. And as I reported in the days in the aftermath of October 7th, Maher Bitar gave directives to his colleagues at NSC to not focus on Hamas and Hezbollah. And so I think that there needs to be a serious investigation into people like Maher Bitar of NSC. Given the fact that these are Iranian proxies, I think there also needs to be a further investigation into Robert Malley, who, of course, was running an Iranian spy ring in Washington, D.C. You don't hear about these things. And then the Wall Street Journal confirms in the aftermath of October 7th that the Iranians trained over 500 of the Hamas and Hezbollah terrorists that attacked, especially giving them parachute training for the people that parachuted into the Nova Music Festival. So why is there no investigation into these Biden administration officials like Maher Bitar and Robert Malley? And I asked people about this in Washington, D.C., and they have no idea what I'm talking about. And they're like, wow, are you serious? I had no idea that a Palestinian Muslim, and I broke this story, by the way, the day that Joe Biden was inaugurated after the stolen election, and no one listened. I said, oh, okay, something really bad is going to happen in this country with a Palestinian Muslim, BDS-loving, SJP supporter named Maher Bitar being in charge of the NSC. So again, nobody wants to have these conversations, but we need to have a really honest conversation about Islamofascism in America. We need to have a conversation about the threat of Islam. George W. Bush said, we are not at war with Islam, but guess what? Islam's at war with us. And people can,
Here's what I think
the
issue is, Laura, and let's finish this on the other side, last segment on the other side of this break. And you might disagree, but you would agree that this phenomenon is happening. And this is happening in the right, too. This is definitely happening on the right wing, where kind of these younger right wingers, they think the only reason why these Islamic countries hate America is because Israel has so much influence on our country and on our foreign policy.
And they should go read the Quran. They should go read the Quran.
Well, we're not bordering any. There are no Islamic nations that border our country, okay? So there shouldn't be even a threat for terrorists. But we're up against a break. We'll continue this conversation. The fearless Laura Loomer. She doesn't back down from anything. We got one more segment. We're mailing her a Habach headscarf. It'll look good on her, I think. She'll probably look good. Our last segment here at the InfoWars War Room. We're figuring that, you know, the Hamas headscarf might make Laura Loomer's eyes pop. It could be a fashion statement for her, you know? It'd be quite a fashion statement. She's really considering it now. We're going to email that, or we're going to mail that to her. We'll give her a couple options. All right, all kidding aside, hey, it's good we can have a serious discussion. Laura never backs down, and we can have fun with it, too. So, let's get into where we left the conversation. What I see going on is and maybe you would submit this point, maybe you would disagree. To me, it's undeniable that the crackdown on, let's say, anti-Semitic protests or speech is bigger than a crackdown on anything. I could be anti-Christian, I can be anti-Muslim, I could be anti-white, I could even be anti-black, whatever. That doesn't get censored. That's allowed on X, that's allowed. But as soon as you're anti-Semitic, you get shut down, you get taken down, you can't have it. So now there's this new move of people saying, well, wait a second, why does Israel have so much influence over our politicians?
I wouldn't say that's the case, though, because Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib are still in Congress. And so I would say that criticism of Islam is what's not tolerated. I mean, look, I'm Jewish. I'm still waiting for somebody to give me my J card privilege, okay? So I don't know where all this protection comes from being Jewish, but you've known me for years, Owen. We've been friends for a long time. And I think that I'm probably one of the most censored people in this country.
Let's decipher this. I'm not saying that you have some sort of special privilege because you're Jewish. Obviously, you've been one of the most censored and attacked women out there. They won't even let you get into Congress. I'm saying that, I mean, again, if you disagree, I just want to make sure we understand the issue here. I'm saying that the anti-Semitic demonstrations have had more of a crackdown than anything else we've seen. And what's considered anti-Semitic speech or criticism of Israel gets censored off the internet more so than any other group.
I don't think they're being censored. I've seen so much support for Jew hatred online. I mean, look, they're not being shut down on Twitter at all. I mean, this is, it's in my feed every single day. Like I said, I mean, you have some of these people, they have millions of followers on social media and their posts are not being censored. You have Jackson Hinkle, who for some reason over InfoWars, you guys, you know, are letting this guy come on and have a platform to support terrorism. I don't know why.
We let everybody come on. We let you come on.
He's openly praising Qasem Soleimani. I mean, he's saying that we should martyr this guy and celebrate him when he was the inventor of a roadside bomb that maimed and killed.
Wasn't Hinkle suspended, though? I think Hinkle was suspended at one point.
He's still online. All I'm saying, though, is that these people are not being censored. They're
why is Nick Fuentes still banned?
Carlson. I mean, Tucker Carlson had Jackson Hinkle on. Piers Morgan had him on. I was in Iowa for the Iowa caucus trying to speak for President Trump, and they canceled me within 20 minutes of my interviews being supposed to go live, Owen, when I was scheduled to go on Piers Morgan. So
the pro-Israel side.
I've never been invited on Tucker Carlson's show. I've never been actually able to complete my interview on Piers Morgan. But these genocidal Jew-hating Islamic terrorist lovers are allowed to go on these shows. So
hold on. Criticizing Israel and Israel is the one that has like 140 nations calling it genocidal in Palestine right now. But why? So you don't have to have unilateral support for Israel. That's not how this goes. People can criticize Israel.
Yeah, I'm not saying that you can't criticize Israel.
That doesn't make you an Islamic jihadic terrorist.
Censored and shut down. I would say that if you're critical of Islam, you're denied more of a platform than if you were openly. I mean, look, I'm giving an example. This is a guy who's been invited on Tucker Carlson's show. He's been invited on Piers Morgan's show, and he's openly praising Qasem Soleimani. So it's like, you know, where's the censorship? I don't really see people who are criticizing Israel getting shut down in silence. I really don't.
You, past, okay, that is outrageous. That is just absurd. You didn't get censored. No. You didn't get censored because of anything anti-Islamic. I mean, maybe back when the left censored. Was running Twitter. You got censored because you support Trump.
Ilhan Omar, I got censored and I got deplatformed everywhere for saying Ilhan Omar was pro-Sharia and anti-Jewish. And so I just want to know, like, if you're not allowed to criticize anything Jewish, why is it that I got banned everywhere and had my life completely destroyed and wasn't even allowed to have a campaign social media account or a bank account because I tweeted that?
That's because you're an influential Trump supporter. That's because you're an influential Trump supporter. If you were a leftist and said these things, it wouldn't matter. Why do you think Nick Fuentes is still not on X?
Well, I don't understand why Nick is not on X because
you know why he's not on X because of anti-Semitism.
I think that I get along with Nick. I don't think that Nick should be banned.
I think you get along with everybody, just like I get along with everybody.
There's other people that say things that are, in my opinion, way more anti-Semitic and actually like genocidal in nature than anything I've ever heard Nick say. People like Jackson Hinkle, for example, and that guy Suleiman, I don't even know what his last name is, some Muslim guy who, you know, seems to be a mouthpiece for Hamas in the way that he posts his social media posts. I don't understand why Nick's not allowed online if they're allowed online, because nothing that Nick has said is anywhere near as actually hateful and bigoted as the stuff that I've seen come out of those accounts. So I think he should be reinstated. I've advocated for him to be reinstated. I don't go around calling him an anti-Semite. And so I don't know why he's not allowed back on X, because there's people that say things that are way worse than anything that's ever come out of his mouth.
So you don't think, well, how about this? Let's look at the TikTok. Are you on TikTok? Are you on TikTok?
I've never been on TikTok. Okay. I will never put communist technology on my phone.
Oh, yeah.
I will never download TikTok.
So what happens when they force, because they're going to force the Chinese national to sell it, and they're going to make some Israel lobbyists buy it. I mean, that's what's going to happen.
Well, I mean, the largest, I believe Jeffrey Yass is Jewish. Correct me if I'm wrong, but Jeffrey Yass is the wealthiest man in Pennsylvania, and he happens to be the largest U.S. investor into TikTok, right? And he's anti-Trump. I don't know where he stands on Israel, but like I said, when I was on Trump's plane and David McIntosh from Club for Growth was there, and I said, hey, what is Jeffrey Yass, the largest donor to Club for Growth, going to do about all this Hamas propaganda on TikTok and the facilitation of illegal aliens getting guides and instructions on how to come into our country illegally? He just kind of shrugged his shoulders and didn't really seem to give a damn. So I don't really think that this guy, Jeffrey Yass, cares about Israel. I don't know if he's Jewish. I think he may be Jewish, but he is a billionaire and he is anti-Trump. He is the wealthiest man in the state of Pennsylvania and the largest U.S. investor into TikTok. So again, I mean, there's all this rhetoric out there like, oh, the Jews control everything. The Jews are going to, you know, sell TikTok to Israel and then they're going to, you know, crack down on free speech. I'm pretty sure there already is a lot of Jewish influence on TikTok and they're allowing for open Hamas propaganda. So I just don't see it. I just don't see it. Right. I just don't see.
Well, everybody else sees it. And that's the problem, is that everybody else is seeing it. And it's like you say anything critical of Israel now, you get censored.
When I ran for Congress, AIPAC campaigned against me. They supported my Christian opponent. Because they're. I have never been anti-Israel. Why did AIPAC campaign against me? Really? What is this really
about? Because you're a Trump supporter. You're an influential conservative Trump supporter.
So then people need to understand that there are Jews in this country like myself that are Trump supporters, that are in support of closing our borders, that are nationalists. And yes, we're Zionists because we believe Israel has a right to exist. It doesn't mean that every single Jew is in some secret society and cabal. And the way that the language is being directed is, I don't really appreciate having people scream in my face, kill all Zionists. Like, they don't even know what the definition of a Zionist is. They're mixing up.
Yeah, left wingers are crazy. They have
Bolshevik Jews from the ADL and
whatever the protest flavor. Hold on, Laura. Whatever the protest flavor of the month is, the liberals are going to go crazy. So, but on a general note,
it's conservatives as well. I'm getting told that I'm not America first because I believe Israel has a right to exist. People tell me on the right, go back to Israel. I'm not Israeli. I don't even have Israeli citizenship. I am a United States citizen. I'm America first. And every single day,
I got 90 seconds left with you. Would you support cutting all foreign aid, including to Israel?
I think we need to have a serious conversation in this country about how much aid that we're giving out. I don't think that I would say cut all aid because we have weapons agreements with Israel. Okay, so they purchase a lot of their weapons from us. And
then they bomb people with them, and then we get blamed for it. Laura, I'm giving you an opportunity here. I'm giving you an opportunity. Can we cut the foreign aid from Israel?
Whether it's Ukraine, whether it's any other country, we need to seriously cut back on foreign aid. I will say that. I was not in favor of the supplemental aid package to Israel and Ukraine that was just passed in the House. I did not support that. We need a standalone border bill for our own border here in the United States.
Why? But see, okay, we're out of time here. This is a good conversation. I like talking to you because you never back down. Maybe we'll reinvest this in a couple months after there's a terror attack because of the wide open border. And then they'll use it to crack down on our freedoms and everything else. All right, Laura, any final comments here? I got 20 seconds.
Well, tonight, tune into Loomer Unleashed live on Rumble at rumble.com/Laura Loomer, 8:30. I'm going to be interviewing Will Scharf, who is one of President Trump's attorneys, for an update on the Supreme Court hearing today regarding presidential immunity. And then be sure you follow me on X and True Social at Laura Loomer.
Yeah, where Ketanji Brown Jackson is clueless on history or the Bill of Rights. Really incredible stuff what she's accomplished in her short term. Laura Loomer. All right, you're going to have a nice headscarf coming in the mail soon, and it's going to look great on you. You may even convert. It's going to be that glorious.